Okay, so as you know, the topic title was a bit misleading because it is not about Keter, Chachma, and Bina. It is about halachic countings, but I figured it was too good to pass up. Okay, so there are three times where the Torah talks about somebody counting. And it's always instructive to try to see, are they the same? Are there subtle differences? Contrast is always a good way of coming to an understanding. So let's just first look at the three times the Torah commands counting and try to see if there are differences in how they should play out. Okay, so one time is when a man or a woman has the condition called a zav or a zava. Okay, and they are in a period of tumah, and they have to count days to achieve a period of tahara again. So to point out, we tend to think of this in modernity only in terms of husbands and wives, that a woman's counting until she can be together with her husband again. Obviously, at the time of the Beit HaMikdash, it had much broader ramifications. Right? You want to go to the Beit HaMikdash, you want to eat from a karban, right? There'd be other reasons to count days beyond marital relations. Okay, so what does the pasuk say? Im tara mizova, if she becomes pure from her flow, from her discharge, v'safrala shivat yamim, she counts 7 days, v'achar titar. Okay, so a woman counts 7 days, and then she becomes tar, both qua the Beit HaMikdash and for her husband. Okay, we'll come back to this later. Okay, what's the second one, of course, what we're doing right now? Usvartim lechem imachrat ha-shabbat, we count from the second day of Pesach, miyom aviyachem and omer ha-trufa, right, that's the day you bring the carpet omer, sheva shepto tmimot yena, we count 7 full weeks to get to shvuot, and again, there's going to be a lot of play made in this word tmimot. Okay, obviously you could have just said 7 weeks, it says tmimot, this supposed to be full or whole somehow, so that's an important word. Thirdly, we get to Shemitah. V'safarta lecha sheva sheptot shanim. You count 7 groups of 7 years. Sheva shanim sheva pamim. V'yu lecha yimei sheptot shanim teisha yim shana. Okay, so in theory, maybe we did 3 things. Maybe we have 3 mitzvot of counting in the Torah, the counting of Azava, the counting for Sfirat Omer, and the counting for Yovel. Okay, before we start analyzing, what differences come to mind between how the three are phrased? Charlie? Anything. Yeah.
Days, weeks, years.
Okay, so Charlie's saying the units of time are different. Right, that is interesting. You have all three. Right, the Zava counts days, and for Shavuos, for Omer, we count weeks, and for Shemitah, we count years. That is an interesting point. Okay, Joey?
Who's committed to count, whether it's a group or...
very good. So maybe there's some significance to the singular versus the plural. And then how would it play out? Well, the Zava is obviously one woman counting, V'safrala. But then it's interesting, the Omer you have, Usvartem, the Bento, where's your Hawaiian shirt?
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
You're not a serious guy. Okay, so Usvartem Lachem, what?
It's too cold outside.
Okay. Yeah. Tell that to Joe Gidale.
You're wearing a full hoodie.
Okay. Okay. So Usvartem Lachem is in the plural. And v'sefarta l'cha for Yovel's in the singular. So maybe that's something to work off. Okay, so we'll look at Joey's point in 1 second. Does anybody else have another difference? Okay, we had Charlie's interesting point, Joey's point. Yeah, Yonah Bergman.
If you have a daughter, it's not optional, but it's not character. It doesn't always happen. With 200 commandments, it's Shemitah.
Interesting. You just thought of that?
Yeah.
Okay, very interesting. Why do you say it doesn't need to always happen? I think you're right, but what do you mean by that? Okay. It's not fixed in that sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, good. David Edwards, back from Westwood.
Well, sometimes you don't have the actual signs to make it full tumor, right?
Okay, you guys are on to something. We'll come back to it. Okay, so let's start with Joey's point. Let's look at the Gemara Menachot. Tanur Banim Svartim Lachem, Shetehei Sfira L'Kol Echad V'Echad. Which is exactly your point, right? What is being emphasized by the plural form? Well, how do we do Omer? Every single individual in Am Yisrael counts, right? So that's the plural. Everybody on an individualized level is being told, count the Omer. Okay, what about Yovel? So let's go to Tosos and Menachot. Usvartim lechem shtei Yisrael klechad achad. Gabe Yovel k'teh v'sefarta lecha. In singular. Why? Da beitin kamalu. So right away, we have one interesting difference. Maybe some mitzvot are incumbent upon every individual in Am Yisrael, and there's some things that are communal performance. We don't need everybody to count Yovel years. We just need Beit Din to do the count. Okay? But here's where things get really interesting, guys. Is that just a technical difference Or is that a much more essential difference? Again, what do we have now? Is it just a question of who counts? Every individual counts the Omer, only Beit Din counts the Yovel years? Or that reflects a much deeper difference at work? So Josh Spear, I'll get to in 1 second. Let's read a little bit more. Okay, and Tosa is a little bit unsure about this. V'shema Beit Din Sofrin u'mevarchin. Now, I think this got really interesting, guys. What is Tosfot unsure about? Should Beit Din make a bracha? Now, normally, what would making a bracha reflect? You'd make a bracha if the act is a mitzvah. So maybe this question of whether Beit Din counts or individuals counts is not just a question of who counts, it's a question of the very content of what we're doing. Maybe somehow when Beit Din counts, they are not doing it as a mitzvah fulfillment. And therefore, they wouldn't be making a bracha. Whereas, when every individual counts for Sfiras HaOmer, they're fulfilling a mitzvah, so we make a bracha. So we'll have to figure out what's going on in this Beit Din count. Why would this Beit Din count not potentially not be a bracha-related count? Josh Shapiro.
So, question followed by another question. In the case of Siva, don't say a bracha.
Very good. So Josh says, wait, so shouldn't we ask about the third case? Sorry. Right? Let us figure out, does a Zava make a bracha in her counting of clean days to get Tahar again? So we're looking at it right now. That's the next question.
If no, I would then propose that maybe the counting here, it's, the question is whether the counting itself is inherently holy or whether it's functional.
Josh up here is a natural-born Lamdan. Excellent. Okay, so Josh is saying there's another model out there. What's the other model? Maybe I'm not counting because the counting's inherently mitzvah. I'm counting because it's just functional. There's a piece of information I need to know. Have the right amount of days passed. I'll give you a very simple example, guys. Let's try to follow. Let's say, who should we go with here? Let's go with, who's a real Perm Jew here, guys? Michael Allen? No reason. There we go. Okay, no reason. The Yeshiva Kabbalist who's decided he's going to Gemara all day. Okay, very interesting fellow. Okay.
Sound like German set up.
Yeah. Okay, so no reason loves Perm, but he just can't remember when Perm is. Okay, so he asks Charlie went to Perm, and Charlie says, no, it's another 11 days. So he counts 11 days to get to Perm. There's no question there, there's no mitzvah to count 11 days. It is just a way of him calculating when Perm is. It is purely a functional calculation. So Josh is suggesting, maybe that's what's going on here. If I say I don't make a bracha if I say Beit Din doesn't make a bracha for Yovel, what's Beit Din doing when they count every year? They're not doing, there's no mitzvah to count. It's just that, we need to know when Yovel is. So the best way to know that is to count. Right? Is counting is purely this preparatory functional perspective. So now, 1 second, Charlie. Josh Shapiro, very good. Good lumpus there. Okay? You can tell your dad I said you had good lumpus today, okay? Maybe not as exciting as, you know, with some obscure text in medieval Jewish history, but not bad. Okay, so... there you go. Okay, Neil London. Okay, so in any case, have we got that, guys? So maybe the real question is as follows. When is counting an independent value? It's a mitzvah in its own. When is counting a purely functional means of knowing a piece of information, and then it's not a mitzvah? Maybe what is Tosfot saying? When every individual counts in the Omer, we're sure it's a mitzvah. But when Beit Din counts for Shemitah, for Yovel, we're not so sure it's a mitzvah. Maybe it's just functional, and therefore there'd be no bracha. Okay, back to you, Josh. What else do you want to say? Josh, Charlie.
If we say Beit Din's count is not a mitzvah, it's simply functional, what are the content ramifications of what they actually have to do?
Okay, so that's a good question. But one thing I'll say, at the very least, bracha would be the first thing to go. You make a bracha when you're doing a mitzvah.
No, saying, if it's not a mitzvah, it's just functional. Have to count every year as a public debt.
Okay, that's a very good question. We're going to come back. We're going to come back to your point. Okay, Noah.
To make a claim on whether Sfirat HaOmer is a mitzvah or not, I would say that it would be because we have a din of Megillah where we say that the perm has to be set so that we know when Pesach is. We don't have like a Beit Din or a mitzvah to count every day between Pesach.
Okay, great, great. So, but at this point, we are arguing that Sfirat HaOmer is a mitzvah. And we're raising a doubt about Sfira for Yovel. Right? We are assuming at this point that Sfira Omer is a mitzvah. Okay? We're good? Okay, great. Now, Josh said, what about the third case? What about Zav and Zava? Okay, so let's keep reading Tosfot. The Gabi Zava Dichtiv Safra Lo Shayech Babracha. Now, you might think that's because of the functional argument. But let's see what Tosfot says. Lo shayach babracha. Kiven shes soteret. It could be uprooted. De'i chazya, if she sees blood again, afilu b'shvi satra. Now this Tosfot we're going to see could be read in two ways. What does it sound like Tosfot is saying, guys? Wine, don't make a bracha on zava. What are you afraid of? Yeah, what if she's clean for the first 5 days and sees blood on day six? Why is that a reason not to make a bracha? Ah, right? So wouldn't you guys say your gut reaction is we're trying to avoid bracha l'batala? Is that correct, guys? But wait, but if that's true, here's where things get really interesting lamdish-wise, guys. Okay, I'm really happy because this is, I often recycle shir kolis. This is the first time I gave this shir and I'm finding it really interesting. It might become part of the regular repertoire now. Just keep it in the freezer and take it out every year. Okay, so what do you have over here now? Maybe two different reasons not to make a bracha. What do we suggest before, Josh Shapiro? Don't make a bracha for Yovel because the count is purely functional. What are we saying now with Zava? Maybe it is a mitzvah, but there's an external problem that we're afraid of. Bracha batala, you never could tell what's going to happen with a woman's menstrual cycle. Maybe she'll bleed again. And therefore, we can't make the bracha because we're underconfident. So just to sum for a second, in theory, here's what emerges from Tosfot and Menachot. Omer has no rice and said, Omer is a concrete mitzvah, make a bracha. Yovel, we're not sure if it's a concrete mitzvah, so Tosfot's not sure what Beit Din should do. Zava, the woman can't make a bracha because she's afraid of bracha l'batala. Josh.
So this also a little bit goes back to the question of whether Sefira is 49 mitzvot or one mitzvah.
Okay.
But I Tosfot saying that in where her deep in Tosfot that it would be a bracha l'batala is assuming that the mitzvah is to count all 7.
Excellent, Josh Milstein.
Counting one.
Excellent point. If each one is each one's independent mitzvah, so then it can't be a bracha l'batala.
Yeah.
Very good point. Okay. Yes, David Edwards. David, just remember, David, you have three comments, so you're ready to use your second one. You sure you want to do it at 12:19? All right, live, David.
He's saying it's a mean trend.
What?
He's saying it's a mean trend.
An observation, not a comment.
That was clever. He's saying what?
He's saying it's a mean trend.
Who's he? So you want to say, even according to Tosfot, the issue isn't really bracha l'batala?
No, it's that he didn't successfully get to the point. It was stopped prematurely. So therefore, everything is batal because the entire purpose in general was to be able to count to the end of the cycle.
Okay, so hold on for that for a little bit later. Okay, Avi.
Could you still say that it's like a mitzvah day? You still could say that it's a mitzvah to count the full 7-day period, and then at the end you make a bracha. That would get rid of the something bracha l'batala.
For on the seventh day, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. Okay, so let's go to the Keren Ora. Keren Ora is one of my favorite achronim. It's Rabbi Yitzchak from Karlin. I know that you think Karlin, you think that means he was Hasidic. You know, he happened to be from Karlin. He was not actually Hasidic. It's a little bit like the Aruch HaShulchan. And you know what city the Aruch HaShulchan was rabbi of? He was the rabbi of Novartik. So you think, oh my God, he must have been one of those Novartik Musarniks, right? But no, he happened to be the rabbi of Novartik. Okay, so the same thing here. The Keren Ora was from Karlin, but not connected to the world of Karlin or Hasidim. One of the reasons I like him is he wrote Pirushim on the non-standard Masechta. So it's always very helpful. Like, Kodshim tends to not have so many Pirushim. Right? You're learning Bab Metzia, there's no shortage of Pirushim. But you're learning Menachot, there might be a shortage, and then he often fills the bill. Okay, the Keren Ora. So that's what we have in the Keren Ora. Vayinir lomar desfirida yovel. Lo, Josh Abir, here you are. Lo nemer la mitzvah la atzma l'spar. It's not ner mitzvah. Ela iku l'kvo azman l'kadesh narach mishim liyovel. Right, that's the exact idea. What's he claiming? It is only a means of knowing when Yovel's going to be. Aval sfira omer, lo nemer sfira k'mo l'kadesh chayak shvuos. It's not just that I'll know when shvuos is. Ela chala sfira m'yom yom chemet omer trufa, ukenusa chabracha, even the way we count it, yom echad, the omer. Vasira mitzvah la'atzmai. Now here's a question I've been wondering about for years. I don't have a good answer, but maybe one of you will solve for me today. And in good or right to fashion, guys, it's a nice mixture of lumpus and machshava. Okay, most people try to explain the rationale for Sefirat Omer. What's the standard way of doing so? Why do we count days? Because we're eagerly anticipating Matan Torah. Isn't that the standard? Right? But basically, what is the Keren Ora basically asserting here? On a halachic level, at least, that's not the way it works. It's not only a means of getting to Shavuos. In fact, even the count, if you think about it, how do we phrase the count? It is the third day, La'omer. Arguably, what are we referencing? Not where we're going, where we're coming from, right? When was the Karban HaOmer? On the second day of Pesach, right? In theory, the count should be there are 47 days left till Matan Torah. So even though I really like the idea that Omer is all about linking Yetziyah Mitzrayim with Matan Torah, Omer is all about anticipation of this great day, I have to admit, halachically, that doesn't seem to be what's happening. Right? We seem to be more counting from and treating each day as an independent value to count. So that's my question, like how the Machshava and the Halacha would work together there. In any case, for our purposes today, though, what's he arguing? Just like Josh Shapiro. What's happening in Omer? Independent mitzvah. What's happening in Yovel? Just functionally getting to... I'll take comments in 1 second. Okay, I just want to point out one more point of the Karen Ora. Okay, what about Zava? Now we're going to move in a different direction, guys. Go to the line that begins with Od Ha'ira. We're still in the Karen Ora. Od Ha'ira Tosfos Besfirat Zava. The Katvut Lo Shakel Brachol the Soterit Minyana. That's the Tos we just saw. So notice what he's doing. He doesn't think Zav is about Brachla Batala. What's Zav about once again? It's functional. It is not a mitzvah in its own right. It's just that you'll know that she was clean for 7 days. And he's got a very interesting proof. Teda, dafil lo barka eliyom aleph yom shvi, olala l'shiva nekiyim. That's a pretty strong proof. Guys, halachically, a woman will check herself every day. She'll do a bedika every day of the 7 days. But apparently, b'dieved, you could do without it. What's apparently the halacha? As long as she checked herself day one and day seven, they kind of like envelope the time period. And if you're clean on day one and you're clean on day seven, you could basically say you're clean for the entire time period. And that works. So says the Kenner, if that works, what do you clearly see? Well, how could it be that there's a mitzvah account, then we shouldn't allow that. We can only allow that if it's really just the means of making sure she's clean for 7 days, and then we feel good about it if she was clean on day one and on day seven. So I'll take comments right now, guys, but just realize where we are at this point. What happens in Omer? We count every day because it's a mitzvah. Why are we unsure about Yovel? We're not sure if it's a mitzvah or just functional. Why does everyone agree the Zava doesn't count? So here, it's a little bit tricky. Tosfos emphasize the possibility that we won't get through. It sounds like Brachla Batala. The Karen Ora says, no, it's not about Brachla Batala. It's just like your Yovel Svara. What's happening with women's counting? It's not a mitzvah to count. We just need to know that she has 7 clean days. That's what's going on. Okay. Yoni Kurtz.
I feel like for the thing where it's like Omer has like valuable components, not necessarily just counting on Shavuot.
Yeah.
I think it's like similar to Shabbos where like you can say like the Chal Shabbat has like value on its own, but at the same time,
okay. You want to say, like, when Effie Bluestein makes the chalent, it has religious value already. Well, that's actually because we eat it on Thursday night, so that's not a good, that's actually not a good analogy. Okay, yeah, Charlie.
You might just disregard this before, but in response to the same question of sphere being a mitzvah or not.
I like that new category, the cute part category. Okay. Okay.
Even that the
Pasuk
said the Sheva Shabbatot have to be Tmimo, you could say that that you're counting from one time to the next, that you'll disregard the middle as like being hasmanim, but really the only important aspects are the beginning and the end. Whereas if you do that, you're not actually living in the moment or keeping the weeks complete. That actually each day is also.
That's even better than a cute word. Very good. You're saying it's teaching you the value of process.
Yeah.
All right, very good, Charlie. When you're a rabbi, that'll be a great threshold. Yeah. Yeah, just realize one thing, and this is the topic of all this year. There's no place in Chumash where Shavuos is identified as Chag Matan Torah. It's identified as more as an agricultural holiday.
So I'm saying, like, I didn't say Adonai Asim or anything. There's like no
right, you're saying it doesn't link it with whatever Shavuot.
Yeah.
Okay, although you do have to look at the next pasuk, Josh. Look at the next pasuk in Chumash. Okay? All right, guys. Yeah, Zach. Okay. Very good.
And then it's like obvious to us that it's we're going that our end goal is 7 weeks, and so that's why you say part of it is you say that how many days have you been beginning.
Okay.
You say the weeks to simplify. Okay, it's not like I saw it.
Very good, very good. Guys, now look at Zach Mackerman. Have a nice safari. I don't know if you guys know this, but he came out of his sick bed to come here right now. He's like the Willis Reed or the Kirk Gibson of Chicago. If you don't get the references, look him up afterwards. Yeah, no racism. Did anybody get both references?
Yes.
Okay, great. Good. No racism.
Other than the fact that he doesn't use the word Spira, what's the difference between, let's say, like counting groceries and counting the words?
Ah, in a certain sense, you're saying if it's functional, we do that all the time.
Yeah.
So why specifically have a verb for safra?
Yeah.
That's a very good question. Okay, let's go on now. Okay, so let's go to the Minchas Chinuch. And the Minchas Chinuch make an interesting point. It's a little bit of a side point to our main topic here, but I think it works out very nicely. As you guys know, Rav Yosef Babad wrote a commentary on the Sefer Chinuch, which is way beyond the commentary. Most of it has nothing to do with the Sefer Chinuch. And it's really interesting analysis of every mitzvah in the Torah. It's really, if you want for like interesting halachic analysis, he asks very creative questions. Let's see what he does over here. Now, let's say for the sake of argument that Yovel is also a mitzvah. Okay, guys? Just for the sake of argument. Would it then play out differently than Omer? Okay? It could be there's a huge difference. Omer's a mitzvah, Yovel's not. What if they're both the mitzvahs? Look what he does. Mitzvah zu mavur barambam kan perek yud. Ve'enu mavur barambam the mitzvah limnot shanim v'gam shmitin. K'mo ba'omer demoni yamim v'shvot. See, right, it's an interesting question. How does Omer play out with a duality? What's the duality of the Omer count? We count days and weeks. So he's kind of curious. Should we make a parallel? What would be the parallel if we did that for Yovel? It is the fourth year, three Shemitah cycles in 4 years. Right, should we phrase it that way also? Should we have these like larger units as well? That's not so clear. So that's the first question he raises. This is great, guys. This is not my topic at all, but I just can't resist. Torah Kohanim is the Sifra, the Halachic Midrash on Vayikra. Look what he says now. The Eino Tachat Yadi Ka'et. What does he mean, Eino Tachat Yadi Ka'et? So if I can say about it, we live in a world where we have such easy access to every book. Here, imagine, isn't that interesting? He is, I know, in 1863, Galicia, somewhere in Poland. And guess what? There is no copy of the Sifra in his town. Right? It's pretty remarkable, right? The Minchas Chinuch says this a few times. Right? I would love to tell you, there's no Sifra within like 20 miles of here, and I'll have to wait until someone comes through with the Sifra to look it up. Okay, so just realize how much life has changed. Eino tachat yadike. I do not currently have access to this work. Okay. Umitzvizu Mesur Lebetan Agadol Bazmani Yovel. Fine. Okay, now let's skip down to. Umavur Betot Nacho, Teshem Abetan Sovin, Varchan Al Sver Kosher Varchan Masvet, Umavur Mishle Melech. Here comes the interesting part, guys. What else might be a difference? One question he raises is would you have this dual count? Shemitah cycles plus years. Vinirudayu Sofrim Ko Rosh Hashanah. Kamosh Anu Sofrim Bechol Yom. Vekan Hashanim Hekmo Yamim. Umitzvah Limnot. Betzchilat haMitzvah. Now that's an interesting question, guys. When would Beit Din count? So what does he want to posit? If we make the parallel, when do we like to count Sfirat Omer? In the very beginning of the evening, right? So what would be the equivalent of the beginning of the evening? Let's count Rosh Hashanah. So maybe Rosh Hashanah is kind of the equivalent to Marv. Okay. Now let's see if that plays out. V'af Shirley the Gabi Sfirat Omer Ktiv Tmimot Avolkan Lo Ktiv Tmimot. Ah, but remember, now that word comes back into play. How do we interpret the word tmimot? It should be whole. So what is one of them making it whole? By counting early in the day. That gives it a wholeness. In fact, this has another implication. I don't know if you guys ever realized this, but on Shavuot, we don't allow you to be makabel Yom Tov early. I don't know if some of your shuls might want to do it. Like, this way the kids won't have to start so late. But you can't do it on Shavuot. I don't know why you can't. Because tmimot means you have to let the 49th day go to the end. So also at the starting point, Tmimo teaches you, make it a whole day, start counting early in the game. 1 second. But obviously it does not say the word Tmimo regarding Yovel. Now look what he says on the last line. And this is a crucial halachic distinction, guys. You can really count all year. Rak Zrizim Makdimin. Now, I think this is great, guys. If you understand this distinction, you understand the Lomdish life. Right? Maybe everybody will say count Rosh Hashanah. But there's a big difference in why I'm counting Rosh Hashanah. What model is he setting up right now? Yeah, but what would that mean? There's nothing unique about this mitzvah that means it should be done early in the day. It's a generic Jewish value. What's the generic Jewish value? Don't be lazy. Be alacritous. Be eager to do mitzvahs. But think about it. That is very different than saying there's something in the internal quality of this mitzvah that's meant to be done early. Obviously, which would have much more halachic weight? If it's internal to this mitzvah, right? Zriza Makdima is not something that ruins anything. Okay, I'll give you a great example, guys. There we go. But even that, let's talk about Britot. This is also very interesting, guys. A little sociology. Okay, David Bentor. Ready for some Israeli sociology? Okay, you're going to tell me if this is a plus for Israelis or a negative for Israelis, okay? You have to tell you the difference. Guys, you ever notice that every single Brit in America is always like 7:30 in the morning? But then Israel, you might be invited to a Brit Mila at like 3 in the afternoon? You ever notice that? Okay, so that is true, right? I don't think, has anyone ever been invited to a Brit Mila in America in the afternoon? Okay. Dan Belge.
My nephew's Mismila was in the afternoon.
Where? Mine was also
in America. Really? Why?
Because it was on
Songa Dai. Sorry, fast day is not fair. Why was your nephew's in the afternoon?
I don't know. It was in Five Towns. Maybe Five Towns.
Dan, are you going to end up living in the Five Towns, Dan?
No, Flatbush.
Why Flatbush?
Because, I want to live in the Syrian community.
Oh. when did that happen? That's why?
Yeah, I want to live in the Syrian community.
Do you currently have a girlfriend in Asheville?
No.
Okay. All right. But that's your plan.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh. Okay. All right. So. In any. Okay. Okay. In any case, not to distract me, get me where I was. Here we go. So, but in Israel, you have it all the time. So you wonder, is it because, like, in America, like, people actually work, right? So you can't invite them to the Brit, right? What do you have to do if you want people to come to your Brit? We have to have it at 7:30 so that by 8:15 they can get their car and go to the work. But this is all right, so I'll leave the firm for a couple hours in the afternoon. What's the big deal? Okay, so, Dr. Bender, is that a plus or a minus?
Minus.
Okay. Okay,
here
we go. Okay, so, yeah, Joey.
What?
There you go, very from. Okay, but notice one thing, guys. So maybe all the Americans should say, Israelis, that's terrible, right? Surely you're chayiv to do it as early as possible. What would the Israelis say? No, but there's nothing inherent about the Brit that it should be in the early eighth day. What would be the value of doing it early? Zrizim, guess what? Zrizim is not the only factor in the world. Zrizim sometimes could be put aside for other factors. What if I think more people will be able to come if I do it at 2 in the afternoon? So maybe at that point, I'm just highlighting the difference between doing something early because the generic value of Zrizim, or doing something that early because it's inherent to the mitzvah. So before comments, guys, what have we gotten from the Minchat Chinuch? The possibility that they're both the mitzvah, but they would play out differently. Why would they play out differently? Because only Omer would have the extra factor called Tmimo. And Tmimo could have various implications. One of the implications would be, is it important to do it as soon as possible? So now, should Beit Din count on Rosh Hashanah? Well, if it had said Tmimo, it would be inherent to the mitzvah to do that. If it doesn't say Tmimo, okay, it'll be a nice fulfillment of his reason, but it wouldn't really be crucial. Okay, who had a comment? Josh. Interesting. No. We don't say that. That is interesting. Oh, I'll tell you why, actually. I've got a svar why. Because when you start Shabbos earlier, you're not ending the sphira period. So when you take the 49th day and end it earlier, that isn't, meaning you're bringing a day that's not part of the sphira. Yeah.
To me, it was only by the weeks,
not
the days.
Okay, so you're right. There's more discussion there, but yeah.
Also, we do it for Noam when he was in Fishabah, like,
but the sphere is derisive, as man is there.
Yeah,
he only gave that cheer because he wanted to tell you not to sing the song.
The second pasuk isn't really talking it's talking about the korban, and it also is only talking about Yom. It's not really talking about the same situation as here. And it doesn't even say anything about Shavuos there. So
you're agreeing with the...
What's the theory that it's
with the Keren Ora, that we're not at all counting to Shavuos. Right, although again, my Machshava question does come back into play now. Yeah. Right, does seem to a little bit fly in the face of how we understand Sefiras Omer from the Machshava perspective. Okay? We're all good so far, guys? Yeah, Joey?
But for Yovel, we do have, in like the 50th year, we do have a specific time that we're supposed to like blow the shofar and like usher in that year. So
yeah.
Like, wouldn't it follow that maybe in the other years we would also have a, there, like there is a specific time.
Okay, so you're doing something clever, I'm just not sure it's correct. You're right, we get to Yovel, there's something very specific. Blow shofar on Yom Kippur Shel Yovel. But maybe counting to get to Yovel is different than the actual practice of Yovel itself. I'm not sure you could read back, if Yovel's time-specific, that means all the years counting up to it were time-specific. I don't think it necessarily follows, right? Okay, we're all good? Okay, great. Let us move beyond the Minchas Chinuch and go to the next side of the page. Okay, let's do the Ramban first and do a surprise of Chizkuni. Okay. Now, the Ramban's give one more argument to add to our analysis. Now, this is the Ramban on Chaf Gimel, this is the Ramban on the Omer. Let's see what he's got about the carbon Omer. Okay, David Loran, you doing well? You pick up a good Hebrew word today?
Not yet.
Okay. A Yiddish word?
No.
All right. Okay. We're going to give you one very soon, okay? Here we go. V'tam v'svartam l'chem k'mo l'katam l'chem she'tei svir v'l'kikl kol echad v'echad. Again, what do we see in Omer? Everyone is obligated to do a mitzvah. She yimneb piv, counted by mouth. V'yaskir cheshbono kasher kibbutzenu. Now he makes a contrast. V'einkan v'safrlo v'safrla. This is not true regarding. Who's that about? Zavin zava, the zavin. Now look, here's a new argument, guys. What was the Karen Or's argument? That's not a chiyuv. You could really be yotze just counting, doing bedika on day one and day seven. Look, here's a really interesting argument. Shehari imratzu. Omdim betumatam. Ah, that is fascinating. What's his argument, guys? So this really fits something we've discussed many times. Right? I've argued that being in a state of tumah is not a halachic disaster. And in theory, let's say you're just a single man or a single woman living in Tveria, right? And you become tameh. And it's now November. Okay, so why is it not urgent at all to become tahar? Let's say there's no issue of being with your husband, you're single. You have no plan to go to the Beit HaMikdash till Pesach time, right? You're not a Kohen and you're not eating Truma. So what could you say to yourself? Where's my urgency to become Tar? I'll be a perfectly happy Jew being Tameh for the next 3 months, right? Can you still give Shir? Sure. Give me a Chazan for Shacharis? Absolutely. What am I losing out? Right? I'll still run the Tzedakah campaign. What's the big deal? So that's the interesting part about Tumah, that unless there's certain things you need to do, there really isn't an urgency to drop it. So, but what does the Ramban want to infer from that? Well, if there's no urgency to drop it, that means it's not a mitzvah, right? The mitzvah would indicate I better count so I could get this done, right? But I could just choose to say, no, I'm not really worrying about it. There's still Pesach time. Everyone got that? So it's another argument towards the idea that Zav and Zava is not a mitzvah. Again, so that seems to be pretty much accepted, right? The Karen Ora said, after all, you could just do Bedika day one and day seven. Says the Ramban, after all, you could choose to be omeid betumatam. Right, so what is the counting all about? Ela shelo yishkechu. So what's, if here's really the Josh Shapiro's throw once again. What's the counting about with Zav and Zava? It's functional, right? It's a good idea to count because then you'll be sure, oh, I have had 7 clean days and I can go to the mikvah. Okay, did someone have a hand up before? Yeah, Joey.
I was going to say, maybe it is a small, like it's not a disaster, but
except for one thing. Okay, this is actually a very important thing to realize, guys, about Kohanim and Tumah. It's a classic misnomer. Okay, we got a lot of Kohanim here. Joey Calvin, you're a Kohen, no? Okay, Joey, of all those mysterious and sinister Tumahs lurking out there, which ones are of concern for you? Yeah, guys, realize this. If you have any other form of Tumah, it is not usher for a Kohen to contract it. So if anyone ever writes a story where part of the story is someone calls out, Kohanim, leave the room, there's a dead Sheretz here. Right, what do you say to them?
You're an Amaretz.
You're an Amaretz, correct. There's no such thing. Okay, Kohanim would not have to leave the room because there's a dead Sheretz in the room. Right, or Kohanim, better be careful, I think there's a lot of Nevela going around here. Right, there's the only Tumah that is a difficulty for a Kohen is Tumat Mek. Okay, that is the sole thing, right? Any other form of Tumah, there is no prohibition whatsoever. So, Joey, there plenty of tumors that wouldn't be relevant to a Kohen in the market. Okay? Yeah, Dan.
Is everyone already has like this?
You wonder why it's a problem for Kohen since they're all tummy already?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
discuss it when you discuss go to Harbayit, okay? When Rav Shames gives the shir. Does Hakotel go to Harbayit?
No. Like some do, but the official verdict of Hakotel is rather not.
Okay, so I probably shouldn't say this over tape, but Dan Belge is absolutely thrilled to be in Yeshiva Haraita. Okay, because we have better oatmeal for breakfast. He can go to Harbayit. And we celebrate Thanksgiving. He's just he's living it up. He is just living it up here. Now we know why he transferred. That doesn't count. No, but we promote it on some level. What? We the collective Haraita. Okay. What? The Rosh Yeshiva doesn't address third person questions. Okay. Okay. All right. So let's go to the last idea here. Okay, guys. So I think we're good. Okay. So just a very, very brief summary. In Omer, what are we all convinced by? Apparently, how does Omer work? It is a real mitzvah for individual, and we're going to make brachot. That's a no-brainer. Beit Din, we seem to have a little bit of a debate about, right, guys? We're not sure where to play the Beit Din. If Beit Din is a mitzvah and you are making brachot, what do the Minchat Chinuch suggest? It would halachically play out differently because it lacks the term tmimot. So any halach and sfirat omer that is a function of tmimot, and there are others I didn't mention, wouldn't be applied necessarily to the Beit Din. Okay, and that was debatable. With Zav and Zava, everyone seems to say we don't make a bracha, but we've had different kinds of arguments. What was the Ramban and Karen Or argument? The Josh Shapiro argument. That with Zav and Zava, it's purely functional. Okay, however, Tosfot threw in that maybe it'll be messed up, and maybe Tosfot, we're not sure yet, maybe Tosfot is thinking more along the lines of bracha lefa. Okay? Now we get to the last part of the shiur. We'll see an excellent chiddush by two different achronim, and I want to give credit to where credit is due. There's a wonderful Bulgar of the yeshiva named Aaron Priven, who's now in Colombia. He's going to get married in June, and I'm learning for his wedding with him. And when we're discussing these issues, he told me about this Meshech Chachma, so he should get some credit. Okay, so let's see the Meshech Chachma. Tisbru Chamishim Yom. Okay, so which count is this? Sfirat Omer. Ha'inyan. Ki Sfirahu B'chol Makom Achei Mishuneh Mizulato B'mechuvan. Why do I count? I count because this day is somehow Mishuneh Mizulato, different than the others, than the rest. Okay, David Loren. Zulat means the other. You got that down? Got to ask again in 15 minutes, okay? Okay, so it's different from the other days. Meaning, why do I count? So let's say I'm Mendy Newmark, and I'm very disciplined about my diet. Or I'm Yitzchok Blau, and I'm not so disciplined about my diet. Okay, so I'm counting because it's a day I kept it. So I'd say, this is my eighth day of intermittent fasting. I have kept it. So counting is a way of differentiating what's happening on this day from some other day, right? So Meshech Chachma would like to say that's part of counting. Counting is taking note of how this day is different from some other day. Okay, here we go. V'zeb v'zav v'zava. So why does that work out great with Zav and Zava, guys? Because what is the Zava taking note of? There are days that I bleed, but today's a day that I didn't bleed. So that's what the counting is doing there. The counting is taking note of how this day differs from other days. David Loran, what does Zulat mean? Good. Okay. V'zeb v'zav v'zava v'safa la shivat yamim hi ki tereb mechuvan sheyom zetar v'lo ratanita. Exactly as this guy said. I didn't see any blood. The chayin keri, uplita chichvat zera, right? Nothing untoward happened these days. But when it comes to Sfirat Omer, ma inyan Sfiratam mechuvan, sheinishtanem mizulato. What's the problem now? There's nothing about this day that makes it different. I'm not taking note of anything about the day. It's just the day. It's the 23rd day of the Omer, okay? That doesn't differ in any quality. What happens on that day does not differ from what happened on the 22nd day of the Omer or the 24th day of the Omer. Im lo dezevi sphere mamash pefeh. So therefore, what must I be doing? He's basically saying, let's reverse the analysis here, guys. Let's start with Zav and then go to Omer. When is, and it really gets to Noah Rison's question, why would the Torah use the word visafar? So if it's Zav and Zava, we know what that word's doing. What's that word telling you? What's the verb visafar or visafra telling you? Take note that this is a day that's different than other days. Take note that it's a clean day. But since that's not what's happening in the Omer, so by default, what's the Torah telling you? Literally, count. Everyone see that? In Zav and Zava, the Torah's not telling you literally count. It's just telling, there for Safar, it just means take note, because there's something to take note of. But in Omer, where there's no differentiation, and there's nothing to take note of, it must be the Torah simply wants me to enumerate the days, and therefore it's a mitzvah. Ah, but if that's true, what would emerge? The chain sphere biyovel bepeh kedivei Rambam. What would emerge if that's really the differentiating factor, guys? Which side of the divide should Yovel fall out on? Yovel should be like Omer. Because again, there's nothing about the year that, oh, this is a year that's playing out differently. That I'm not taking note of how the year played out. I'm just counting. Right, so there the sphere should be just like Omer. But then he does something extremely clever. Okay, here we go. Ah, what about the following, guys? Okay, now, it says you're supposed to count 7 weeks. But it also says, Tisperu Chamishim Yom. Okay, what's a little bit funny about that? We don't actually count day 50, right? We don't count day 50. Now, there are many, many answers to it. I'm not going to get into it right now. But let's see, according to the Meshech Chachma, what's going on. Look what he does. This is amazing. Sheyom Chamishim hu Yom Tov, v'hu mechuvan bezeh, v'nishtaneh mizulato. Okay, what does he want to claim, guys? Ah, meaning what's happening day 50? We go back to the model of Zav and Zava. Right? Isn't that an interesting read? A very creative read. For 49 days of the Omer, we're not in the Zav and Zava model because the days are not really qualitatively different. Then we're just counting Bepet. But when we get to day 50, we're taking out, oh, this is a really different day. We're going to bring a Karban Chagiga. We're going to make it a Yom Tov day. So that's the count of day 50. The day 50 count is taking note of something. It is no longer the count of orally reciting what day it is. One last point, guys. Umesula kushiyat atosud perakamadir. Now, which question of Tosfot is he talking about? The question, why does the Zav and Zava not make a bracha? So what does the Meshech Chachma think? Tosfot you threw in a factor that was not really necessary. Again, what factor did Tosfot throw in? What did Tosfot say? Zav and Zava doesn't make a bracha because she might see and right, and then the count will be ruined. Says the Meshech, you don't need any of that. What's the much simpler approach? Why does Zav and Zava not make a bracha? Because she's not really commanded to count. She's just commanded to take note of 7 days. Again, so this is go further along those lines that Zav and Zav is not actually a mitzvah to count. And he wants to claim that how we interpret the Safar depends on this issue. Are you noting the days being different than other days? Okay, everybody got so far? There's a little bit of a complex Safara. We got the Meshech coming down. Now, the note of Yehuda basically says the same thing, but before we get there, actually, let's look at the note of Yehuda quickly, because he quotes something really interesting. Okay, now, there's this fascinating phenomenon, I don't know why it is, how certain people get a title, other people don't get it, right? So, there's certain people in Jewish history who got the title HaKadosh, you ever notice that? Yeah. Like, as much as we love the Netziv, no one seems to ever say the Netziv HaKadosh. But, you know, the Ari got it, and the Shlag got it, and the Or HaChaim got it. Okay. What? Okay, there you go. So, now ask Rav Dovidel for a svara. Why? What are the criteria to get the HaKadosh status? Okay. So let's go on here. Okay, so let's read in the Shla. The Shla is the Rav Yishaya Horowitz, the Shnei Luchot Abrit. I'm not going to make fun of you. No, it's too mean. Okay. No, I didn't even have a particularly good line. It was just going to be like a generic insult. Okay, here we go. Okay, so let's go. Okay, so says the Nobuda. Kedivrei Agon HaKadosh Baal Shla. Now, this is an amazing sheet, guys. What does the Shla say? She bimei sfirat hanikim. What should a woman do when she's counting her 7 clean days? Timne b'chol yom v'tomar hayom yom echad. Kim tefdiv v'suffer la. Now, nobody, as far as I know, nobody does this. But I shouldn't say that. Maybe there's somebody out there who does it. But what did the Shla say? Every day the woman's getting out of her nidah period, she'd say, today is my 3rd clean day. Next day, today is my 4th clean day. I do want to emphasize one thing, though. Notice the Shla did not say you make a bracha. So he's not so convinced. If he was really, really convinced, he probably would say make a bracha, right? Unless he thinks bracha matala problems. But he seems like there's some mitzvah quality. Count days. Even a Zava should count days. Now, look, the note of Yehuda's response is really intriguing. It's kind of humorous. Okay. Omer ani hagon hakadosh hazeh l'rov. Ah, Omer ani, full stop. Hagon hakadosh hazeh. Notice again, who's the Shla? He's Kadosh. L'rov kedushat chasidato, because he is so pious, nitkayimbo, what's fulfilled regarding him? Ohev mitzvot, lo yispa mitzvot. Now this is a play on words. Who knows what the original pasuk is? Very good. How do you know that, Dan?
Because I must have learned it somewhere.
Okay. See, guys, Dan's deeper than you think, guys. Okay. Okay, there you go. He's not just, you know, hanging around the old city looking for Asian women. There's much more going on there. Okay. Okay, so there's a pasuk in Kohelet, Ohev Kesef Lo Yispa Kesef. What would that mean? If you love money, you're never satisfied, right? It's endless. Okay, which is a powerful idea. But of course, what do rabbis do? They take sukkah and play with them. So instead of Ohev Kesef Lo Yispa Kesef, he says, Ohev Mitzvot Lo Yispa Mitzvot. Okay, what's he getting at in context here, guys? It's almost like the Shla. What personality does he have? He can't resist more mitzvah opportunities. So he's taking something that really isn't a mitzvah. If it's not a mitzvah, I'll make it a mitzvah. Right? So guess what? It's a mitzvah to count days if you're an eater. Sorry, I thought the line was really interesting. Let's read a little bit more. Okay? V'ratza l'man tzidko l'hagdil Torah l'harbo b'mitzvos. That's what he wants to do. His passion for mitzvot is leading him astray. Avol etzli achar mechila kvodo shel hagon. Ein dvarav mitkablim. At the end of the day, it's just not correct, guys. So, but I thought it was a very nice way of kind of disagreeing with the shla, but giving them some nice praise it's a good way to criticize somebody, right? Right? Find something positive about them. Like, your mistake comes from a positive impulse. Okay, shla, you just love mitzvot, but I am sorry to inform you, when a zava counts days, that is simply not a mitzvah. Okay, you want to end up, Charlie?
According to the shla,
yeah.
Would you be Yotzei, let's say we actually held that way in modern times with like the advent of these apps that women use to track their cycles?
No, but couldn't you ask me the same question about spirit? Couldn't you ask me the same question about Spirit Homer?
Perhaps.
We don't want you just to have like Homer Simpson show up on your smartphone. Right? We want you to actually count the day. Okay. Right? So I think the answer would be no. Okay? Anybody else with a comment or question on this? Okay, we're going to see one last source, and then I'm going to, David.
So that makes sense, it's specifically for women, but would you say that the reason that feels put brothel with it is because it's a sausage that's going to come up?
Yeah, although there's a paradox here, David, right? Right, are you going to tell me women are exempt from the mitzvah?
Right, exactly.
Right. Right. Okay. Okay, so let's see, the one last source, guys, and we'll call it a day. Okay, let's see the Chizkuni. Okay, Chizkuni is a nice parish on Chumash that it does not appear in the Makor Gedolot, but does appear in the Torah Chaim. Okay, now, one last Chumash question before we finish it up here, guys. Why would a parish appear in the Torah Chaim and not in the Makor Gedolot? Joey. Because more Pshari than Joey's an intelligent fellow. Okay, here we go, guys. Now, he says something, but it's not so clear what the Svar is. And in fact, a man named Rav Shavel, who was a big Talmud Chacham, who lived in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and he put out a lot of Svarim. I think he wasn't getting that many Shilas in Milwaukee in the 1950s, so he had a lot of time to put out Svarim. So he put out the Chizkuni, and in his footnotes he says, I do not understand what the Chizkuni means. But here we go. What does the Chizkuni say? V'sefar techla sheva shabtot chanim, l'fi she'inkan ilasfir achat, since it's only one counting, right, not a dual counting, v'hi be'beitin, and it's taking place in Beitin, ein tzarech, now, if that's a clear, wait, why does that follow from the previous two statements? So what if I'm not counting days and weeks, or I'm not counting years and Shemitah cycles. And so what if it's not an individual, it's baited? Why does it follow from that there's no bracha? So one thing I've been discussing with a few of the Shana Bet students is maybe, we'll have to do more research, guys. Maybe there's an idea that when mitzvot are done on a communal level, maybe that's not the place where you have bracha. So we need to check. I admit, I didn't have a chance to really check it out. But I'll give you an example, guys. Kiddush HaChodesh is a communal mitzvah, right? Is there any bracha Beit Din makes when they engage? I don't think so. I don't think Beit Din makes a bracha on the endeavor of Kiddush HaChodesh. So maybe the Chizkuni's getting at that. Now again, I have to see if that's true, okay? Is it true? I'm trying to think if I can think of other counterexamples. Like, you have to check all the mitzvah that are only done on the communal level. Right, now let me clarify so people are not confused. You might say to me, in shofar, only one guy makes the bracha. Why is that a bad example? What's happening when one guy blows shofar? Everybody is doing the mitzvah. It's just one is blowing for the rest of us. Right? So that is an individual mitzvah, even though only one person in shul is doing it. But what if you have a mitzvah that's really only done on a Klal Yisrael level? Right? Maybe those mitzvah don't get bracha. Maybe that's what the Chizkuni is getting. Okay, we can take the last five questions and I'll sum it up. Yeah, David. Ah, that's interesting. You're saying a vote in the Middash would be a good test case. When does Avodah Mikdash have a bracha?
Also, I know that one specifically is kind of called
Kapara. Right, but there's a lot of Avodah that's done on a collective level. That's very interesting. We have to look it up. I don't know if it's... Yeah, Michael? That's clever, but I still think since that has a very individualized component to it, it might not be a test case. You're right, the middle level is interesting. Like when it's not dad and it's not the person himself. But there's a lot of individualized responsibility in that framework there. Okay, Noah.
Just find out, I don't remember if you make the bracha, if you're doing it individually, what about Megillah?
Megillah and Esther?
Yeah.
But, okay, but again, why is again, isn't that the same as Shofar? Meaning it's true that Yoni Kurtz is reading for all of us, but we all have an individual mitzvah to...
But it's not just to hear it, it's also to read it and understand ourselves.
Yeah, but once it's on an individual level, I think it's not really parallel to the Yovel scenario. Yeah?
I've heard that there are some opinions that say that Kriyat Torah on Shabbos is a mitzvah to
read. Okay. Well, that gets to a huge question, which I'm going to ask. The brachot that the Ola makes, what kind of brachot are they? What are those brachot doing exactly? That's a very interesting question, but not for us in a second. Good, Charlie. Who else had a guy? That was good. Yeah, David? You when Beit Din judges a case?
Yeah.
Okay, so I have an interesting example, guys, that I was thinking of. When Beit Din, all the liberals in the room will like this, all the humanitarians in the room. When Beit Din punishes somebody, in theory, they fulfill the mitzvah. They fulfill the mitzvah of uviyarta ramit kibracha. Okay, why does Beit Din not make a bracha? Actually, and they're the reason they say it's not because it's communal. What if we say we don't make brachot on punishing people? Brachot are not, that's not a time to make a bracha. Okay, even if the person deserves the punishment, that is not something to celebrate. So there you have it, it's interesting, because there you have a separate reason why, but you're saying what about like a monetary court case where like no one's being punished, as it were. Okay, maybe guys might have discovered some interesting we didn't know before. Maybe there really is such a rule that there are no brachot on communal mitzvah. Yeah, Dan.
I mean, there are some, I think in... on Yom Tov, you say Vatar Pinach, and like it's only said by the Chazen, and it's not said by like the rest of the community, and like right before loading.
Yeah, I don't get it right now. I don't think it's a good example, but it's clever. Yeah.
I was gonna say Minyan. Minyan's not as clear on the individual, but on the.
Well, that's actually a huge machloket, right? Rav Moshe Feinstein thinks individuals are chayv to daven with the tzibur. The Emek Bracha thinks they're not chayv.
Isn't Rav Moshe very that yet?
Look, it's not the simplest reading the Shulchan Aruch, if that's your question. Okay, I'm not sure if we did like an Achronim survey how the vote would play out. No, because what is the, you remember what is the line Shulchan Aruch's language? Anyone know what does Shulchan Aruch say? Dan Belge. When he's talking about finding a minion, what verb does he use?
Yishtadel.
Very good. Very good. So now Rav Moshe tries to read Yishtadel as a chiyuv. That is a tough reading. Yishtadel does not sound like it's a chiyuv. So that's what you mean. But that doesn't mean that Rav Moshe is a dat yachidah. Yeah.
Maybe the Chanukata bayit for sure belongs to all the community.
Yeah, but like, you're doing a beautiful thing. I'm not sure there's a mitzvah you're doing. But guys, we need something that is communal but is a mitzvah. Like, let's say your shul, I don't know, has a beautiful event. I don't know what beautiful event they make up. I know, let's say they have a Daf Yomi celebration for Yerushalmi Shkolim. So there's no proof that there's no bracha because celebrating Yerushalmi Shkolim is a beautiful thing, but there's no mitzvah you're fulfilling. Right, so of course there's no bracha there. So you have to be careful about the case you're using. You think Tivat Sefer Torah? I don't recall what we actually do in terms of bracha there. That's interesting. I don't recall you. Okay, very quickly, guys. You know, I'll even skip the review because it's already over one. Very quickly. JJ.
Would another case maybe Hakel? Would that work at all? Or
Hakel would be a good test case. We have to check if there's a bracha.
Yeah. Or, I was going to say, like, Arab, or like they. But it's not necessarily a
mitzvah. Yeah, exactly. Arab might be changing the halachic status of something, but it's not a mitzvah to, per se to have one. All right, we're good? All right, guys. Everybody have a wonderful Shabbat.